I've been thinking about the book Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, a book I read a long time ago. And when I read it, I thought, is there any possibility that this terrible world could come to pass? Brave New World, of course, wasn't a compliment in the story. The quote, "What a brave new world that has such people in it," was an exclamation that was, in effect, a misunderstanding. The world was a terrible one. And we, as the readers, got to see what that world was like. And why would someone write a book like that? Well, I think so that we would not create that world. And when I read that book, I said to myself, I don't know how much power I will ever have, but I will do what I can so that the world that I experience and the world that my children and grandchildren and their grandchildren experience is a brave new world in a good way, not the way it is in this book. Perhaps you remember that just after the election, I talked to you about the quantum mirror and how you could step through the quantum mirror and find yourself in an alternate universe, and how science theorizes that there's a multiverse of alternate universes. And to some extent, anything can happen. There will always be some universe in which it does. Well, that gives us this moment in our lives to make a choice. Are we going to step through that quantum mirror into Huxley's Brave New World, or are we going to create a different kind of courageous world? A world where we honor life, where we honor each other, where we respect the teachings of science so that we can protect this beautiful planet. And as I was reading the news over the past few weeks, I began to think that maybe Huxley's world was closer than I wanted it to be. I know that this afternoon I'm going to get on an airplane and fly to San Antonio for the seminar that happens once a year for accredited interim ministers. And I thought, well, at least I'm only flying United on one leg. You know, and then the flight out to San Antonio is on American Airlines. So as long as I don't have a stroller, I'm going to be fine. For those of you who didn't see this little bit of the news, of course, a man, Dr. David Dow, was dragged off the United Airlines flight when he was bumped after having been seated, and he was removed against his will. And people use their phones, their smartphones, to take video of the horrible mistreatment by the enforcement officers at the airport. And then just this week, an airline flight attendant was so determined to remove the stroller that the mom with the two twins, who were 15 months old, wanted to bring onto the plane, that he swung it and almost hit one of the children, and did in fact hit the mom. This is not the kind of brave new world I cherish. But here's the thing. I've noticed a number of incidents over the last few weeks where I think, this is horrible. What kind of a world are we building? And then I see the response. And the response makes me think, we're building the kind of brave new world that I want to live in. Because people in the video, first of all, people took the video when Dr. Dow was being dragged off. And in the video, you could hear people saying, stop, this is wrong. That's the kind of world I want to live in, where people who witness something that is wrong speak up. And as we know, United Airlines after first saying that the passenger had been reaccommodated. May I never be reaccommodated in that fashion. Eventually apologized. So there was a recognition in our society that the way that man was treated was wrong. Now, apparently, airlines still have the right to take you off the plane after you've been properly boarded. And the wisdom is not to resist, but to sue them later. In another area that has been almost frightening in its the danger to so many millions of people is healthcare. And we've seen this attempt to reduce the quality and the availability of health insurance for people. And in one of the town hall meetings that was held by, let's see, Representative Warren Davidson of Ohio, the mother of a service industry worker asked him, "Can you explain why my son and millions of others in the service industry are not deserving of affordable, decent health care that has essential benefits so that he can stay healthy and keep working?" And Representative Davidson replied, this is a direct quote, "His skills are focused in an industry that doesn't have the kind of options that you want him to have for health care. So I don't believe that these taxpayers here are entitled to give it to him." In other words, he's working in the wrong industry. He needs to get a job where the employer provides health care. The people can't give him health care. The people aren't entitled to give that to him. So how do we respond? Well, we are the taxpayers, and you know, we are entitled to give people health care. In fact, we are the only ones who are empowered to do that. And even if it's a bit indirect, even if it's by the power of the vote, the power of the phone call, the power of the letter, if we continue to take those steps in response to the idea that if somebody is working in a low-paid job where they don't have much power, they don't get to have health care. That's not the world I want to live in. And I answer the call of love to call my representatives and write them when I see something like that that's wrong. On Tuesday, another area entirely of concern about the kind of world that we may be building. Juan Manuel Montes, 23-year-old, who came to the U.S. when he was 9, and he's an undocumented immigrant. But he was protected under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the DREAMER program. He wasn't supposed to be deportable. And the policy is still in effect. Montes was walking down the street, and agents from immigration stopped him and questioned him about his citizenship. Did he have papers? Did he have documentation? And he actually had in his general possession, not at the moment, a certificate that showed he had DREAMER status and that he was allowed to be in the country. But they wouldn't let him go home and get his certificate. Instead, they immediately deported him. So how do we respond? United We Dream is a national organization with a local chapter in Columbus, Ohio. And it partners with local groups like the Columbus Workers Coalition. And they're forming local rapid response teams so that even if a deportation occurs, at least there will be witnesses people who are ready to receive a text message and go to wherever it is they need to go to hold signs and be present and use their smartphones and take videos so that we can continue sending the message, this isn't right, so that these things don't happen in the dark of night, unseen. And while one day, you know, one time in the history of the world, for most of the history of the world, these things would happen unseen, but with social media and the power of the video camera, the power of the smartphone, that's changing. We can make the wrongs visible so that we can right them. If you look on the wall here, you see our new Standing on the Side of Love banner that takes three of the values that we cherish, we here in First Unitarian Universalist Columbus. Acceptance, respect, and compassion, that's how we aspire to deal with people. If you look over there, you see another banner with a quote from Martin Luther King. Justice anywhere, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. These are cherished values and beliefs in this congregation. And I know that many of you are engaging in daily actions, is the phrase, daily actions to try to respond to some of the things that are creating the Aldous Huxley Brave New World. And we're doing that so that we can shift our universe to a new kind of brave new world. Yesterday was Earth Day. Earth Day. Yeah, this is a pretty beautiful planet, isn't it? I like it. Let's keep it. But, you know, there are climate change deniers. There's this alt science, right? Alt science, where scientific fact doesn't seem to matter. And this is really one of the reasons why there were protests and marches all over the country in many, many different cities speaking for science, the March for Science. William Happer, a Princeton University climate change denier, I never thought I'd use those words in one sentence, said that the Earth's temperature isn't rising nearly as fast as the alarmist computer models predicted. He said the whole basis for the alarmism isn't true. It's based on flawed computer modeling. And he's also argued that global warming and an increase in carbon dioxide is good for mankind. And he did say mankind, you know. So Saturday's March for Science was a response. And there were many interesting stories coming out of those marches. But the main message of them was, hey, let's use facts. Let's use scientific research. Let's rely on that in making decisions. One of my favorites was a chant. The contingent from Boston University marched from Cambridge, over the bridge from Cambridge, and chanting, what do we want? Science. When do we want it? After peer review. That's great. So our response to events that seem to be propelling us into Huxley's Brave New World is to be present. Once I was walking with my children when they were very small. We were walking to the local bookstore. And on the way, we saw a couple of police officers who, first impression, seemed to be hassling a person of color, an older, somewhat scruffy, possibly homeless man. And he certainly didn't blend in with the upscale neighborhood. On the sidewalk, right in front of us. So I stopped. The kids stopped. I watched for a moment, and then I said, what did he do? And I got the, just move along, ma'am. I said, what did he do? I just, move along, ma'am. I said, I just want to be sure that he's not being mistreated. And we stood and watched, and then after a moment, the situation sort of dissolved and de-escalated. and we went on our way to the bookstore. When I talked to my brother just a few weeks after the election, my brother was angry that people had taken smartphones to film pictures of police engaged in unjust actions. He said it ought to be illegal. I said, look, I said, when I didn't have a smartphone, long before the age of the smartphone, and I saw something happening, I knew to stop and ask questions. The smartphone, all that does is add a certain accountability, the ability to record what's happening, to something we all ought to be doing. We ought to all stop and ask. Here and now, the Unitarian Universalist Association and this congregation are responding to a request for teach-ins and special services on either April 30th or March the 7th about racial justice and racial injustice and the power of whiteness. So here, Reverend Marion is leading the service on April 30th, and the topic will be racial justice. And then on Friday, May 5th, we'll have a teach-in here about how to intervene. How to intervene in a safe and positive way. You know, if I have white privilege, and I'm sure I do, and I'm fairly sure that I would be reluctant to give it up if it were possible to do so, but as long as I have white privilege, I want to use it to make the kind of brave new world I want to live in, the kind of world I want for my kids and their kids, the kind of world I want not just for the people I love, but for everyone and everyone's children. Our response to a hiring controversy that seemed to arise from an act of racial injustice by the Unitarian Universalist Association in considering who to hire for a regional leadership position is to talk about it and learn about it and figure out how we need to be in the world so that we will have our kind of brave new world, one we're really proud of, one where we nourish life. So I invite everyone, step through that quantum mirror and choose the side of love. Notice, stop, speak, record, share, and support. Support the people who are at risk, and support the institutions that make a difference. Brave New World, let's make it the beautiful place we long for it to be.